overworked and tired, so it's good to see many of you that I haven't seen in a few weeks at least. I like to read, starting out in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, if you'll turn there with me. 2 Thessalonians 3, verses 6 through 15. Now, Paul, in Acts 17, traveled to Thessalonica, and he established the church there by first going to the synagogue and talking to Jews who had not known about Jesus, and he was telling them the good news. Later, Paul travels around and continues to travel, and he writes some letters back to the Thessalonians. This is the second of which, starting in verse 6, "In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we command you, brothers and sisters, to keep away from every believer who is idle and disruptive and is not living according to the teaching you received from us. For you yourselves know how you ought to follow our example. We were not idle when we were with you, nor did we eat anyone's food without paying for it. On the contrary, we worked night and day, laboring and toiling, so that we would not be a burden to any of you. We did this not because we do not have the right to such help, but in order to offer ourselves as a model for you to imitate. For even when we were with you, we gave you this rule: the one who is unwilling to work shall not eat. We hear that some among you are idle and disruptive. They are not busy, but are busy bodies. Such people we command and urge in the Lord Jesus Christ to settle down and earn the food they eat. And as for you, brothers and sisters, never tire of doing what is good. Take special note of anyone who does not obey our instruction in this letter. Do not associate with them in order that they may feel ashamed. Yet do not regard them as an enemy, but warn them as you would a fellow believer." So the church was newly established, from Jews first and also to Gentiles later. And in this particular church, there are two problems going on: that the people in Thessalonica were idle and they were disruptive. They were guilty of two things: trying to use the church as a meal ticket, to simply take advantage of the good people who, out of the goodness of their heart, did things for others. Not because they were required to, but out of a love for other people, they provided. Just like the Bible tells us to provide for widows, orphans, and other people, they provided for others selflessly. And whenever this occurs, of course, we know that there are people who take advantage. These people were unwilling to work. And what's more, they were being gossipers and in other ways distracting to the Christians, the early Christians, who were in fact doing God's work. It seems like this message from Paul is one of encouraging us to be capitalists, to provide for ourselves, to earn what we make, and basically to provide our own fruit, that we reap what we sow. However, we know that can't be his exact argument. That can't be the case. We know this in a few different ways. One is that Jesus and the apostles traveled throughout the countryside, and while they did so, others provided for them. One example of this is in Luke chapter 8, verses 1 through 3. After this, Jesus traveled about from one town and village to another, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God. The 12 were with him, and also some women who had been cured of evil spirits and diseases. Mary called Magdalene, from whom 7 demons had come out. Joanna, the wife of Chuza, the manager of Herod's household, Susanna, and many others. These women were helping to support them out of their own means. Jesus did not have time to simply have a career. He left that behind for greater work, and yet people provided for him. The other reason we know that that can't be the case is if we look at the setting of the story, what was going on? The entire reason there is this problem in the first place of people taking advantage of others' hospitality is because the believers were providing for each other in a display that is much more closely resembling socialism than it is capitalism. For the Bible to make sense, we can't just take one line that it says at face value. If we do that, it contradicts itself multiple times. No, we have to look at the context of what's going on. This is not a message extolling capitalism for Christians, but a rebuke to a chosen few in a specific church for specific problems that were going on at that time. Paul had already visited this church and was aware of the problem then, and then this is not his first, but his second letter responding to the church and this problem. These were a specific handful who were abusing the system and the early Christians. I'd like to turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 6 through 13. Continue to look at that verse and how meaningful that verse is. I want to tell you all that I am inspired by the Ventura Church of Christ. I'm inspired by you. We have so many devout believers here, people who are humbly taking care of others like good servants. There are people involved in ministries both inside and outside our church, some that we know about, some that we don't. These people are diligently doing God's work. Most of you have heard that my mother was recently diagnosed with breast cancer. Very quickly, many of you developed a food train. You offered and put together a food train for my mother and I, and you took it in turns to bring food. Whether you made it yourselves or bought it or purchased it, in some way, you were not doing for yourself, you were doing for us. You offered transportation to and from doctor's appointments and offered medical translation and, from those in the field, medical advice, free of charge. Many of you have been encouraging my mother through this difficult time. Many of you have been encouraging me. Many of you have been reaching out. Many of you have been asking what we need or how you can help. Some of you provided and installed a window air conditioning unit in my mom's bedroom because when it's summer or when it's not winter, it very regularly maintains 90 degrees and above in that room. Many of you have plans for doing more for my family and I. One of you has offered to meet with me, to offer advice, even though I missed the first meeting, offered again a second meeting. I missed that one as well. I apologize to that individual right now. But I believe he'll still be there for me when I need him. Many of you are planning to do more for us, offering clothes and other support. These are just some of the things which you have been involved in, which have affected me personally in the last few weeks. You're involved in many more activities, many other ways of serving that I have not mentioned right now, which do not affect me. some that I know about, and again, some that I don't. And so I want to say to all of you that I am inspired by this church. I really am. I am inspired by the good hearts that you have, by all that you do, that you humbly serve others when they need it, whether it's here in this church or outside of it. But I also want to encourage you not to be like the handful of individuals in Thessalonica. Do not simply show up to church and expect others to do all the work, whether it is physical work or whether it is spiritual work. Do not expect to reap the rewards of others when you put in no effort, whether it is physical nourishment or whether it is spiritual rewards. But works alone are not enough either. And we can't focus on them and neglect faith. Don't just read the Bible, but study it. Really study God's word. Get down to the context. Get down to the truth. Put in the extra work. Don't just pray during church or before a meal, but develop a relationship with your Father. If serving the Lord to this degree sounds like too much for you, then that might shed some illumination on a problem that there is more that you can do. Because the more you serve and the further your relationship with God, the easier it becomes and the more fulfilling it is. And to those whom this sounds easy, I have no critique, because you're already further in your faith than I am. But I'd like to encourage you all with this. From 2 Thessalonians 3 earlier, verse 13, it reads, "And as for you, brothers and sisters, never tire of doing what is good." And also in Galatians 6, verses 8 through 10, "Whoever sows to please their flesh, from the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers." So once again, I'd like to tell you that I am inspired by you. Please meditate on this as we stand and sing.
As the river flows.